Wednesday. C plus 24. Fiori Frontieri Global Headquarters, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dan woke up next to Emma, not for the first time, but for the first time since making their relationship official by announcing it beyond the small inner circle who had been too close not to know. It didn't really feel any different, but this morning in general had a more hopeful vibe to it than either of the last two. It felt good to be doing something proactive, and Dan couldn't wait to get to Fiori Frontieri HQ. Only Emma, Trey, and Timo were planning to speak, but Dan and Clark would be there watching along with Tara. Despite another night of looting in some areas, the morning news cycles all began with anticipatory countdowns to Timo's upcoming press conference. No one was anticipating it more than Dan, and he was ready to leave as soon as Trey arrived. "Are you nervous?" Dan asked him. "Not really," Trey said, sounding very much like he meant it. "I just have to tell the truth, dude. Easiest thing in the world." Dan nodded supportively, immediately growing even more relieved that he didn't have to say anything. Timo, and especially Emma, were far more adept than he was at keeping certain things to themselves in high-pressure moments, and he certainly didn't envy their task. Spilling the hoax now would likely be the final nail in society's coffin, obliterating any remaining trust citizens had in their governments, and particularly in a GSC, which would be exposed as being founded on the basis of an outright fabrication. Dan, Emma, and Clark had lived through the truth being exposed as a lie and the lie coming true. And through Ben Gold's long explanation and literal box full of evidence, they also knew that Walker and Closter truly had masterfully pulled the wool over every eye in Washington and beyond. But what they knew just as well was that no one else would so readily believe that their national leaders and intelligence agencies had been so utterly hoodwinked. Most particularly, few would be able to even entertain the notion that William Godfrey hadn't been in on the hoax. He had simply gained too much political capital from the IDA leak and resultant capital D disclosure for such good fortune through someone else's nefarious politicking to be dismissed as a coincidence. The world was already in trouble, and society was already reeling. But Dan knew that the kind of anger that would likely be directed at Godfrey and the GSC in the aftermath of the hoax being revealed could prove decisively fatal for humanity's collective efforts to save itself from Il Diavolo. Emma was in the zone from the moment she woke up to the moment the group arrived at their destination in Colorado Springs. She ran through everything one last time with Timo and Trey, the latter of whom would have a full written speech to fall back on. As expected, a large crowd of both everyday citizens and reporters who didn't quite make the invitee list was gathered around the old IDA building. A number of Clark's police force colleagues were on duty, but the crowd seemed well-mannered and supportive of the soon-to-arrive group. Across the street, the smashed windows of several recently looted stores provided a stark reminder that this kind of relative calm was very much a daylight-only deal. Emma, keen to get everyone inside and stay well clear of the countless photographers and cameramen gathered at the scene, made sure that Dan didn't stop for a single second to look around at anything while they walked through the unfinished parking lot towards the building's deserted rear entrance. Emma and Clark, both having to drive given that Trey's presence brought their group's number beyond one car's capacity, had opted to park on a nearby side street rather than next to the main entrance, in a successful bid to avoid as many prying eyes as possible, and the short walk proved as untroubled as they'd hoped. Although the building's redesigned facade and brand new welcome plaza were absolutely fit for a future-focused organization like Fiori Frontieri, the mid-renovation main internal reception area was little more than a building site. Parts of the ceiling were bare and numerous wires ran across the main walkways, but all attendant reporters were there on the understanding that this didn't matter and was not to be reported. Fortunately, as Timo's group had repeatedly been reassured by his staff in charge of the project, the press room was fully complete and ready for action. Dan had toured this very press room as a child during a school trip, and just a year earlier he had watched from home as Richard Walker stood at its old podium and tried to eviscerate his character in front of the world's media. It conjured up mixed emotions, to say the least, but the minor renovations were certainly for the better. The group had timed their arrival so as to not have too long to wait around, so none of them were surprised to find the press room already packed to the rafters with reporters when they stepped inside. Hushed conversations and murmurs greeted the group, but no reporters yelled out any out-of-turn questions. Dan, Tara, and Clark took their reserved seats in the front row, next to two very familiar and friendly faces in the form of Maria Jancic and Kyle Young from ACN. Along with Trey, these had been the most helpful and supportive media personnel during the fallout from the IDA leak, and Dan was glad that Emma had made sure they got such good spots. "Any early scoops?" Kyle asked, more in hope than expectation. Dan chuckled. "I think you can wait another 5 minutes." At a desk-like table on the elevated stage at the front of the room, Emma took the middle of three chairs. Timo placed his briefcase containing the all-important fourth plaque in front of the seat to her right, then briefly stepped away to talk to someone about the harshness of the overhead lighting. Trey, meanwhile, produced his laptop from its carry case and inserted the memory card Dan had returned to him less than an hour earlier. Between his footage, Timo's plaque, and Emma's way with words, Trey knew that the next 20 minutes could prove crucial in not only calming the current levels of societal unrest, but also increasing humanity's long-term survival prospects. At least, that had been the plan. Timo Fiori, the space enthusiast and billionaire philanthropist on whose shoulders rested a great portion of the weight of responsibility for humanity's very survival, thanked the reporters for their attendance and approached his chair from the side of the room.
"I think you'll all be very glad you came," he said. "You can begin broadcasting in 3, 2, now." But as Timo took his seat in front of the live cameras, his weight triggered a hidden explosive on the underside of the chair. The resulting blast, impossibly loud without giving off much visible light, rocked the Fiori Frontieri press room and sent much of the crowd fleeing in horror. Dan leapt out of his chair and took two steps in the wrong direction, towards the stage, before Clark roughly tackled him and hauled him to his feet.
"Get out of here," Clark bellowed.
He handed Dan to Kyle Young, the fairly well-built ACN reporter, and implored Kyle to get Dan out of the room. A bottleneck of frightened attendees was going to make this a lot more difficult than Clark realized as the narrow doorway to the press room's only exit struggled to cope with the sudden surge of panicked onlookers. Clark pulled out his phone, ready to dial 911, until his ears kicked in and heard at least a dozen other witnesses doing exactly the same thing. The building's central location meant that ambulances would be there any second. Right now, the priority was making sure that no one tripped any more explosives. Kyle Young, hardly willing, restrained the entirely unwilling Dan as Clark had instructed. Trey Myers, limping and bleeding, lurched forward with cumbersome steps. The room was emptying as quickly as most people could leave, but a small number of Trey's colleagues nearest the front offered him assistance.
"Tara, get back,"
Clark called as he belatedly noticed her standing with her head in her hands at the side of the table.
"Seriously, it's not safe. Everyone else, too, stay back."
Tara neither moved nor replied. Clark hurried around and lifted her away. She didn't protest. She just stared straight ahead. Clark asked Maria Jancic to take care of Tara, which was an easier task than Kyle's, given that Dan was still trying to wriggle free. He then ran back to attend to Timo and Emma as best he could until the emergency medical personnel arrived. But after his first proper glance at the fallout, Clark's stomach fell. Timo Fiori was seriously injured, with very visible wounds on his legs. His eyes were tightly closed, and his face was straining in pain, but his loud gasps at least confirmed that he was conscious. To Clark McCarthy's horror, the same could not be said about Emma Ford.